Hi, you're listening to a podcast brought to you by the teaching team at New Life in North Lincolnshire. New Life is committed to helping transform people and transform places through the love and power of Jesus Christ. We hope you, in some small way, will be blessed and transformed by this message.
Good morning, everyone. Oh, who said doctor? Oh, well done. Can we have another star chart? No, Russ has a star chart. Yes. I know most people know me, but if you don't, my name is Mark Button. I'm part of the church here. I'm also on the board. And yes, as Dina mentioned, since the last time I spoke here, I've now finished my PhD. So I am Dr. Mark, or Reverend Doctor, actually, if you really want to be fancy about it. Just to clarify, that is Doctor of Theology. So don't come, you'll have to go to other people in the church, in the medical profession. But if you want to know stuff about theology, then you can come perhaps and talk to me. Very appropriate reading. Where's Jim? This morning, Jim, because that 1 Thessalonians 5 passage featured quite heavily in my PhD, because it's Thessalonians, for those who aren't aware, it's an early letter, and it's an early one where Paul mentions leadership, so it featured quite heavily. So there you go. So that's the kind of stuff I was talking about. But it's my great privilege to bring God's word this morning, or preaching from the Bible. We believe the Bible is important, and so we're going to look at that, look at some verses, and just believe that God will speak through the word, through me, to us this morning. So let's just take a moment and pray as we come to God's word today. Father God, we thank you for this time here together, as your family, as your people. Thank you that we have opportunity to glorify you, to honor you, to lift you up in praise and worship. And as we come now and just turn to the Bible and look at the themes, the ideas that we're going to discuss this morning, we're going to look at, I pray, Father God, that you will speak through your word, that you will speak through me to us today, that God, you will encourage and challenge us and help us to grow to be the people that you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, again, we've talked a little bit about this, me and Dina, but last year we went to Rome. It was part of our 40th birthday celebrations. We had to postpone it because of COVID, and if anyone remembers all of that. But we got there, we went to Rome, and I love history. I loved going there, and some people I know in the church have probably been as well. And it was just amazing to go around, to look at the Colosseum, Trevi Fountain we went to, the Sistine Chapel, and had the amazing experience looking up at the ceiling, seeing that great artwork. And it was amazing. It was incredible to see these amazing sights, just to take in all of the history that was there. But I guess one of the thoughts that crossed my mind that as I was walking around is that for me going, for us going, as for many people who go, it's like they've seen it for the first time. And it's like it is something to behold. When you see the Colosseum, it's something to behold. When you see all these different sites, it really is quite something. But for the people who live there, they see it every day. I guess it might be the same thing when people who live in London and you've got all the tourists around, but for everyone else, they just drive past Buckingham Palace, Downing Street, wherever, every day. It's there. They see it. A number of years ago, we went to see the pyramids, and that is amazing. We went to Egypt, and it's literally just across the road from the city. So as you live there, you can see the pyramids on the horizon. Like, we go, it's like, wow, this is spectacular. This is amazing. For everyone else who lives there, oh yeah, it's the pyramids. I mean, maybe not quite with that. I don't know, but who knows? And it got me thinking, because I think one of the great challenges or the great dangers for us as Christians, as God's people, is that what was once spectacular and is something that we look at and we think, wow, that's amazing, over time becomes, yeah, we know all that. The challenge of Christianity is not actually that we walk away. For most people, it's not the issue that we leave, that we move away from faith. I mean, that can happen. But the challenge is that actually over time, we just become indifferent. That we lose our sense of awe and wonder of all that there is for us to experience. The things that we once savored, the things that were once powerful and amazing to us, over time become normal. They become part of that pattern. And I think there's, you know, a few signs that for us that we sort of have lost that sense of awe and wonder. One of the things is that I think we change our posture. And what I mean is that, you know, sometimes you go somewhere and it's like, it's really exciting. You're on the edge of your seat. I know, by the way, that, I mean, I talk a lot about football, and I know there'll be less people in the room who like cricket, but like today, we'll be on the edges of our seat. Who cricket fans in the room? No. Okay, a few. All right. Well, this is a big deal, all right, because England are going to beat Australia. Really, that's all you need to know. We're going to beat Australia. That's what we're hoping for. And we want it to happen. So we're going to be engaged and enthralled. Can you believe? 5 days, and it might end in a draw, but we're still engrossed in it. And so we want it to happen. So we're actually engaged watching the Wimbledon final a few weeks ago. We're on the edge of our seat. And sometimes we may remember the times when we used to have that kind of coming into church, like, God's going to do something. There's something exciting. There's something amazing. But over time, we just sort of relax. Yeah, we know this. We sing the songs. We hear the sermons. And it changes. Our posture changes because it's normal. Sometimes we lose our hunger. Psalm 41 talks about, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. And I wonder, do we still have that same sense of hunger and thirst after the things of God that we used to have? And sometimes we just become indifferent. The things that were once sacred and special, and I know for us in our particular tradition, within Pentecostal tradition, we don't necessarily have things that we feel like this is sacred. But actually there's things that, no, this is powerful. This is a moment where we're coming to church, where we're hearing from the Bible, where we're praying together. And these are sacred moments, but we become indifferent to the things of God. And I want to encourage us this morning, this is where I want us to go today, to think about whether we still have that hunger, that desire for who God is, to run after the things of God. And there's a great passage in Revelation, and I know some people, they feel like, oh, Revelation is a bit strange, okay? Haven't got time to unpack all of the book to us. But here's the thing. With Revelation, the book of Revelation, what it's doing is it's communicating ideas in symbolic language, metaphorical language. That helps us in part. So it's not like these things are literally happening, but it helps to try and communicate, you know, because we're talking about things like the God of the universe, which is not an easy thing to try and communicate to people. So it tries to put it across in ways that we can understand. And part of it we have to sort of unpack and know what is going on. And at the start of Revelation chapter 1, this is John who's having this vision. John chapter 1, verse 12. I turned round to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw 7 golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, Jesus, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, with a golden sash round his chest. So it's imagery, it's a golden sash, kingly. His head and hair were white like wool, wisdom, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. And again, it's not literal, but saying that Jesus has penetrating insight, that he can see into, you know, who we are. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held 7 stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. And then he says this, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. and I hold the keys of death and Hades. John has an encounter with Jesus. And this is a moment in his life where he can't be indifferent. His posture is not one of, oh yeah, this sort of thing happens all the time. Like, yeah, okay, Jesus. It says he encountered the true, the living one. Jesus who's risen from the dead. And it says he fell at his feet as though dead. There's something about that encounter caused him to fall down and worship and say, Jesus, I just can't stand in your presence. And the beauty of it is that Jesus says, what's the words? Do not be afraid. That actually something about that encounter is not something that we should fear, but as we've been singing about already, we run to the Father. Because it's not a place to be afraid. It's not a place to hide. But in the presence of God, we can be truly who we are. And actually, when we fall down in worship, Jesus says, do not be afraid. God says, I welcome you as a father welcomes his children. And we have to keep church. We have to keep that hunger about us to say, God, I want to be in your presence. I don't want to let the fire that was once in me grow cold, but I want to keep pursuing who you are. And so this morning, church, as we hear, as we think about these things, maybe we're in that place of actually, yes, a long time ago, I used to have that enthusiasm. I used to have that running after, the sense of running after you, that sense of longing and desperation, but actually, it's indifferent now. And so I want to encourage us with a few thoughts from Psalm 51 this morning. So if you have a Bible, you can turn to Psalm 51, and we're going to read just a few verses, and then I'm going to unpack a few thoughts from that this morning. Psalm 51. I'm not going to read the whole thing, just a few verses. That this is what happens when we're in the presence of God. And these psalms are written by David in this particular time, after a time of real serious sin in his life. And he's coming to the presence of God. And he prays this, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. When we come into the presence of God, when we're in that place like John of bowing down, falling at the feet of Jesus, obviously not literally, it's not a vision that we necessarily all have, but when we come to worship, when we gather as God's people, or when we have our own devotional time, however that works, or whatever that looks like for us, there's something that happens. And there's something that flows out of that. And obviously there are many, many things, but just a few thoughts that I think can flow out of that encounter and that moment where we lose that sense of familiarity and we come back to the Father. We come back to Jesus and we say, I don't want it to be cold. I don't want it to be indifferent, but actually I'm falling at your feet. The first thing that he prays, and maybe this needs to be our prayer, create in me a pure heart. Oh God, that God wants to do something within us that transforms us. That when we are in the presence of Jesus, he is able to do the work. Now listen, this is the thing, and this is the bit why we don't always like it. Because before we can get to the renewing and the transformation bit, there needs to be some brokenness beforehand. There needs to be some acknowledgement. In our house, we try every summer just to try and do bits on the garden. It's not my favorite thing in the world, as some of you know, doing gardening. But at the end of our garden, we had a fence. fence in inverted commas. It was battered. It was broken down. We had this sort of shed thing that was kind of leaning and all falling apart, and it was all overgrown at the end of the garden. And sort of for the past couple of years, I've been looking, thinking I should do something about that. Please tell me I'm not the only one who looks at jobs in their house and says I should do something about that. But it's not terrible right now, so I can leave it, yes? And actually, spiritually, that's how a lot of us act. Like, it's a problem, but it's not a big problem, so I can sort of leave it. So this was the year that I decided I'm going to ask Graham to help me. No, it's true. And he did. And I said, Graham, I don't know if he's here, but Graham, please help me know what to do with this fence. And so he came. And we worked on it. But the thing is, before we could do anything, we had to clear the ground. We had to do some work, and that's the bit that none of us want to do. Like, we've got to load up the bags, we've got to load up the trailer, or get the skip again, and fill it, and we've got to clear out all this stuff. And of course, like most of these things, when you start getting your way through it, you realize there's more problems underneath, or there's something else that we haven't thought about, and lo and behold, that's kind of what it was like. The only bit that we sort of enjoyed was with the sledgehammer in the shed and knocking that down. But we had to clear the ground. We had to clear away what was there so that we could put something better in its place. I'm not sure how our neighbors felt, as at the end of the first day. There was open plan garden. It was great. But we did it. We worked on it, and now I've got this beautiful new fence at the end of our garden. Hey, this is the bit I don't like about adulting. It's like, I want to spend my money on holidays and like nice things. Like, oh, great fence. But there you go. Again, you with me? Yeah. Before God can do the new thing in our lives, we maybe need to get rid of something. We need to clear the ground. We need to clear the way. And we don't always like that bit. We don't always like to be confronted with the thing of, maybe you need to do something about that. Maybe there's some challenge that needs to be brought here. I think part of the discipleship process is not just all the good things that God wants to do in our lives, but it's having people in our world who can speak life and truth to us. That not everyone can do that, but we need people in our world who can pull us up when they need to, who can say to us, because we don't always see these things in ourselves. We all have blind spots. And so maybe there's things that we're thinking, actually, we just need some counsel, some wisdom, people speaking into our lives. And through that, God wants to create in us this pure heart, that we're running after the things of God. That there's something of, I'm doing away now with all of this. And I think one of the challenges of holiness is, you know, it's very easy for us to try and create rules. Like, you might say, well, what does a pure heart look like? You know, what does that mean, Mark? And I can't actually give you the full definitive answer of, like, this is everything that will please God and this is everything that won't. And people try to do that sort of thing. But if we do this and we don't do that and we don't say these kinds of things, we don't watch that kind of thing, and we do this instead. But as a guide, we have when Jesus was asked the question, what's the greatest commandment? It's to love God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And to love others as yourself. That we don't create the rules, but there's something that says, God, is there something within me that says, I want to love you with all that I am? And if that's our prayer, then we will be on the right track. If our prayer, and I love what Russ was preaching about the other week, actually talking about how sometimes in our devotional we can use structured prayers, you know, like the Lord's Prayer. A prayer of mine recently has been, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O God. Pray that each day. Do I get it right every time? Absolutely not, but it's a prayer. And maybe a prayer that we can just pray very simply is, God, help me today to love you with my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love others as myself. The second thing he says is this, and renew a steadfast spirit within me, creating me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. That when we're in the presence of God, something rises within us that strengthens us to say, we're going to keep going. That there should be a resilience within us to say, God, I'm going to keep pursuing who you are. And I know that we face, at times, disappointment. We face setbacks. Things that we hope for and long for don't happen. And so we have to run to the Father, as we've been singing about, and say, God, do something within me in this. That God wants to create that steadfast spirit within us. Listen, this is important for us to recognize, again, as part of discipleship. God doesn't always require us to produce, but he does always call us to pursue. He doesn't always call us to produce, but he does call us to pursue. What do I mean is this. We have a thing, particularly within the church, in the West, I think, because we have an abundance of things. Listen, you know, I've just, you know, spent 5 years doing a PhD, but sometimes I look around, I haven't done a blog, and I haven't done a podcast, and I haven't got the book out, and, you know, there can be this pressure. People in ministry, we've got to keep coming up with the goods. We've got to keep coming up with something new and novel. We've got to keep coming up with something different. And we can feel this pressure, and maybe in our own ministry, in our own life, oh, I've got to keep producing. How many people have I witnessed to this week? How many souls have I seen saved? And yes, absolutely. But life isn't always like that. Life is sometimes the steady pursuit of who God is. And I was having a chat, funnily enough, with Russ this week. You know, we lose sight about the fact that, you know, in the Bible, we have a very condensed version of history. Paul was not always on missionary journeys. Yes, he was the great apostle, but his life was not always preaching to congregations, preaching to multitudes. Sometimes it was just the everyday, normal life of being a tent maker. And we miss little things like in Galatians, he says, well, 3 years later, this happened, and then 14 years later, that happened. It's like, and we miss it. But listen, this is the thing about Paul. He wasn't necessarily always producing in the sense of always on a missionary journey, always seeing the supernatural wonders and all of that, but he was always pursuing. And in Philippians, which is one of the later letters, he says, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. So he's there serving the people of God in the earlier letters. He's writing about that, Thessalonians and Galatians and the like. In Philippians, which is one of the later letters, he's saying, I press on. I'm still pressing on. And in Timothy, where he's writing to his protege, he's saying, my life's been poured out. I've run the race. And this is the thing, God isn't always looking at just, and I know we can have a whole thing about what we're doing for Jesus. But I think it's that sense of God, whatever happens in my life, I'm going to keep pursuing who you are. And ministry may change, and circumstances may change, and all the things around me may look different from where I started, but I'm still keeping the heart of saying I'm going to keep pursuing you. So renew a steadfast spirit within me. Are we following after Jesus as much as we ever did? A couple more things. Do not cast your presence from me. Do not cast your presence from me. Now you might say to me, can we really be outside the presence of God? And of course, in one sense, the answer is no. It's not, you know, God is everywhere. So it's impossible to be outside of the presence. So to say, do not cast. But I think the heart behind what is being prayed here is because actually we can live in such a way and do things that means that it's difficult for God to do what he wants to do in our lives. There's very interesting passage at the start of the Bible in Genesis with Jacob. Jacob is one of the great patriarchs, the father of Joseph. And as he's beginning this sort of journey of understanding what that means for him and how God is going to do something in his life, it says that he was in a place and he fell down to sleep, went to sleep, and he had this image of angels ascending and descending, and he woke up, or when he woke up, he realized, he says these words, he says, "Surely God was in this place, and I wasn't aware of it." That although it's not possible for us to, in one sense, be outside the presence of God, it is possible for us to be in a place where actually we're not aware of what God is saying, because we're not listening, because we're not putting God first in our lives. And then to go right back to Revelation, at the end of the Bible, there's a little passage just a few pages over from that first one that I read, Revelation 3, where Jesus is talking to one of the churches and he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door, I'll come in and be with them." Now, we in church often use that in a kind of evangelistic way. Hey, Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart, kind of open it up, let him in. But let me just ask you this, rhetorically. Don't need to shout out the answer. But who is Jesus actually talking to at that time? He's not talking to unbelievers. He's talking to a church. Is it possible for a church to be in a position where it seems like Jesus is on the outside, that he's having to say to them, "Can you open the door, let me in"? Is it possible for us to live in such a way that Jesus is saying, "I want to let you in"? And listen, because sometimes we have this, I'm not sure, or there's all this that I'm carrying, or who I am. And but like we've been saying, when we fall at the feet of Jesus, he says, "Do not be afraid." He welcomes us into his presence. The road might not be easy. The journey of restoration and doing these things may not be easy, but it will be better for us in the long run. So do not cast me from your presence. So how aware are we of the presence of God? Do we put God first in all things? Are we bringing things to him? Or is it the last resort? Are we saying, "God, I welcome you. I invite you into this moment"? So, create in me a pure heart. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. And then finally, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Now, listen, in church, I think sometimes things like enthusiasm and all of that can be overplayed. I don't know if anyone's seen going around social media. I came across this week. Have we got the image there? Just for all the introverts in the room. I don't know if anyone's seen this, so you might not be able to make it out. But introverts at church, so you've got 6 till 9 preparing to turn and greet my neighbor. 9 till about 9:15, turn and greet my neighbor. And then the rest of the time, recovering from turn and greet my neighbor. Anyone? Yeah? I'm kind of in that place myself, and I'm sort of glad we don't do that kind of thing. I get it. Like, some of us are more reserved and shy, okay? So I know that when we start talking about joy of our salvation, it's like, oh, is he going to be encouraging us that we've got to be all, you know, shouty and loud and all of that? And look, God works with us. This is the beauty. God knows. He made us the way we are, extrovert or introvert, okay? So there's no pressure on people in that sense. So everyone can just relax. We should relax and enjoy the presence of God. However, I do think this. Yes, we can overplay enthusiasm. But I do think this. Our lives should be characterized by joy. And I'm not talking about having a fake smile and pretending things are okay when they're not. But actually, something about our demeanor, something about who we are, that actually is joyful. That there is something that we carry, that we are people of presence. You know, we carry the life of God within us, yes? That should bring joy to our lives. Hey, we don't walk through this life alone. We're in the presence of God. There should be something that's like, yes, that's good. Yet why is it that, you know, sorry, but sometimes Christians can seem really miserable. Like, just rude and unkind. Where's the presence of God flowing out of our lives? That's actually, there's joy that's coming. That actually, I know glass half full, half empty, like we're all wired differently. But something that says we're people of faith. Yes. That's something that there is just different about us. Not just for our own sake. That we're saying, God, I thank you, your presence is with me. I'm not doing this life alone. I can come to you in all things. I'm carrying your presence. I thank you that you answer my prayers, meet my needs. But actually, there's something that's flowing out from our lives to other people. In 2 Corinthians 5, Paul talks about the fact that we are Christ's ambassadors. The world isn't going, the cliche thing, the world isn't going like, oh, what does the Bible say about Jesus? It's looking at us. What do people come into church and think, okay, what's in this place? What's the spirit like? What's the kind of the atmosphere like? Is it a place where we have joy and celebration? And again, we navigate all of that. There's something from us. When we are meeting people, when we're going about our daily lives, are we representatives of Christ? People of joy. People of life-giving words. Not always like, yeah, everything's amazing, but actually just bringing life to people. Having something about us that overflows with the presence of God to others. Because that, I believe, is what the world needs to see. Yes, we can have the amazing supernatural encounters like we heard about in Acts. And I know, listen, not all of us tomorrow may go out of here and see, you know, a lame person walk. We may not tomorrow raise someone from the dead or something like that, but we can all be kind. We can all show love. We can all show grace to someone. You know, as in, we've got to do those things because the world isn't just looking for the supernatural, as powerful and as amazing that and spectacular as that is, but actually something flows out of us to a world that it so desperately needs to know who Jesus is. So joy of our salvation, but it's got to start within us, that actually God is going to do the work within us. Just wonder if the band can come and join me as we draw this to a close. And you know, as we do that, as we sing, as we spend a bit of time in worship, maybe this morning there is something within you that's saying, actually, the things of God have just become familiar. That what I used to cherish, what I used to enjoy and embrace, I've become indifferent towards. And maybe the prayer of your heart today is like the prayer that David prays in Psalm 51. God, do something new within me. And just in these moments, as we sing, as we spend some time worshiping, I want to invite you to come forward, to take that step. And it's not a way of just like, or getting people to do something, but sometimes the symbolic act of stepping out, actually making that decision to say, I'm going to do something in response to this, means that now is the moment where we'll remember this point in our lives. We seal what God wants to do in us by saying, I'm going to do something about it. And so we'll stand, I'll pray in a moment, we'll stand, we'll sing. And if you want to come to the front and be prayed for, people will come alongside you, pastoral teams, small group leaders. And we'll spend a bit of time praying. Maybe you want to bow in the presence of God. But I do not believe that we can think about these things and hear something like this and then just, okay, we're done, let's move on. We want that encounter moment. Maybe you need today to run to the Father God wants to reignite something within you. God wants to produce that resilience within you. I'm getting back up and I'm pursuing the things of God. That prayer of Paul, that I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. That's my prayer. Let's bow our heads for a moment, church. We're going to pray. Father, we thank you for your presence. And I pray, do something within us all today. God, give us the hunger for who you are. As the deer pants for the water, so our soul, my soul, longs after you. God, as we spend a few moments now worshiping, praying, responding, I ask that you will come and work in our lives. Do the things that you need to do in us, we pray, in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this message from New Life in North Lincolnshire. To find out more, do visit us online at newlifechurch.uk, or why not pay us a visit? We'd love to see you.